You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stand. Back in the studio again, I'm Mark Goldbridge and I've got more news than Reuters this morning. There is so much to get into. David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano contradicting each other on João Gomes, question mark. Also, Manchester United are saying they understand why United are shit and basically that Ruben Amorim has limitations and they understand it. What is that nonsense? We'll talk about that as well. Also, we're still in for Belabor, who's playing rubbish because of data. We're looking to buy more young players because of data. Man United are apparently a data club now. They're happy with Amorim, not because of the results, but because of the XG, because of the chances created. What are we doing at this football club? The transfer policy of bringing more younger players in. We've got loads of stuff around Semenyo, Anderson, Wharton, Kobbie Mainoo, we've got Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes questioning things. We've got so much to get into this morning and I think I'm going to feel exhausted by the end of it. But good morning, everybody. I'm a bit exhausted anyway because I was out with the team last night in Manchester for our Christmas do, but more of that later. But before I get into that, it's Black Friday, isn't it? And we've got some fantastic deals with you for Boohoo Man. They've got 90% off on selected items across the website, plus 10% off with the classic original code Goldbridge. That's 10% off with the code Goldbridge at boohooman.com. You can scan the QR code next to me. It's Black Friday and they've got 90% off certain items site wide. So you can get 90 plus 10% on that. I can't do the maths, but it's more than 90%. Might be 99%. Check it out. Link in the description. Scan the QR code. They've got all sorts of clothing for you. Get your gifts. Get yourself kitted out. Jumpers, underwear, gym wear, Netflix and chill wear. They've got the lot. Boohooman.com. Link in the description. Scan the QR code. 90% off items across the website. And you can get an extra 10% off with the code Goldbridge because it's Black Friday. So check it out on the website. Boohooman.com. Right. Into the show. I've got to say, I should be chilling out for the weekend. I've got a bit of a hangover. I should be like relaxed, press conference, Bundesliga tonight, Leipzig, looking at players that we might buy in the future because of the Favel connection. Wow. I don't know what's going on at United. I read this morning, David Ornstein talking about João Gomes saying that we're not in talks for him. And then I read Romano saying Manchester United are considering him and he would love to sign for Man United. And I'm like, what's true, what's not? Conor Gallagher is apparently staying at Atletico Madrid. So is the January transfer window over? You know, what is the strategy? Bruno Saudi, they're talking about that in The Athletic. Anderson's the priority, but he's going to be very expensive. Man United want Belabor, but because he's shit, but the data says he's not shit. And I'm sort of like, I'm confused. We got Ben Jacobs yesterday saying that Man United are going to keep Amorim for the long run, but if he does bad over Christmas, he might be in trouble again. And then we've got the Mirror saying that the club accept the limitations of the team under Amorim, despite the £200 million spend in the summer. And I'm sort of like drifting back to yesterday morning going, what's going on? Like, what is going on at this football club? We lost to Everton with 10 men. I was out for a meal last night. The guy who was in charge of the restaurant, shout out the Alchemist, bloody Everton fan, giving us bloody shots, all smug. They were blue, blue shots. And I'm like, I'm not drinking that. I'm not drinking. I mean, I said fair play, you deserve to win and I will drink it. But the blue thing's a bit of a piss take. We are a piss take at the moment. Like, and I don't, all I want to see is leadership. And I'm not necessarily talking about Amorim here, but I suppose I am. If you saw the preview, he's got to make changes on Sunday. But I'm confused by what the direction of the football club is. And I think they're confused by what the direction of the football club is. There was something I wanted to bring in here about I think it was Ben Jacobs said this actually, when he was on the interview with Beth yesterday, and it fits in with the Mirror. The Mirror is saying that the club accept the limitations of the team under Ruben Amorim. I'm sorry, I don't accept the limitations of what's going on at Manchester United. I absolutely agree that we're not a Champions League side, you know, because we're not in the Champions League. I absolutely agree that we're not in a title race because we're not in a title race. But what limitations are they talking about here? Are they talking about they understand why we're 10th in the league and losing to Everton at home? Because I don't understand that. Last time I checked, our midfield gets paid 650 grand a week. You know, it couldn't stop a bloody bag of cement. It's rubbish. It, you know, it gets run through like a bloody, like Jon Snow's sword through butter. It's terrible. And the wide players, I mean, I'll leave that one. Up front, we don't have a striker. I don't understand a football club that's happy for the press to report that they understand the limitations. They understand why Amorim's struggling. I don't understand why Amorim's struggling. I can see why he's struggling, but I don't understand it because I'm not responsible for it. You know, the midfield is a joke. Absolute joke. It's got more holes than a crumpet. And that's not on me. That's not on you. We spoke about this in the summer and we said we need to buy a midfielder. But we can't buy the midfielder. The club don't buy a midfielder. And then they sit there as we approach Christmas and go, well, we can understand the limitations of the team, but it's on your watch, mate. You did it. You caused it. You know? I don't understand that. And I don't understand why you're briefing the press saying, let's be fair, look at the limitations of the team. We're Manchester United and we're 10th in the league. There are teams a lot smaller than us with a lot smaller fan base and a lot smaller budget, and they're doing better than we are. And we're sat there going, limitations. We pay good wages. We have experienced players and they are massively underperforming. So no, look, I understand the limitations of we can't be in a title race. I maybe understand the limitations that we can't be in a top four race, but I don't understand the limitations of where we are. I think it's crap leadership yet again. And when Ben Jacobs says that, you know, they want to give Amorim the full season, I hope he gets the full season, but that's not a given. And he goes on to say that if they get through the fixtures for Christmas, then he should get the full season. They're looking at the smaller metrics, and the positives there. And those smaller metrics are things like XG, big chances created. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, and I've got to bring this in at this point. The reason we're looking at Belaba, even though he's shit, is because the data says he's a good signing. Oh, great. So we're now run by AI. Brilliant. Another bloody step forward for mankind and Manchester United. AI-driven bullshit. I mean, the eye test in football will always be the best test. Belaba is shit and has been shit for 4 months. But computer says, no, it's still a good signing. Man United are 10th in the league and we're shit. Oh, yeah, but it's about the XG. It's about the chances created. Mate, what are we doing as a football club? Like this new guy they've brought in, I forget his name. Someone in the chat will know. This new guy that we've brought in, right? He's really good at predicting good players for the future. So Man United have brought him in. Oh, good. Oh, good. So as I said yesterday, we're going to buy more Dorgus. We're going to buy more Sescos. We're going to buy more Rasmuses. That's going really well. We're going to buy more Yoros. It's going really well, isn't it? Really, we're such a brilliant place to bring young players with talent and develop them. And I'm like, What are we actually doing at this football club? We're going to buy Belaba because the data says he's good, even though the eye tests say something else. We're 10th in the league and we're losing at home to 10 men Everton, but XG and chances created is more important. And we're going to keep buying younger players because they might be good in the future, but we can't nurture them. And I'm sort of like, this strategy is pure nonsense. When's somebody going to wake up and go, today matters in football, not tomorrow? The result matters in football, not the fucking XG. And let me just say, there are people out there, hipsters, whatever you want to call them, TikTok, bloody nonsense with your bloody tactics, you know, knocking one out to a bloody XG graph. Get on. Anyway, the point is that I nearly said something I shouldn't say on a morning show. I believe that I couldn't give a toss about XG and I couldn't give a toss about chances created. We're not Brighton, we're Manchester United. I remember Chelsea when they had Graham Potter there. I don't think Chelsea fans really wanted to listen to it, but they created a lot of chances under Graham Potter and they didn't score many, they didn't concede many goals, but they lost a lot of games and they drew a lot of games by one goal or 0-0. And Chelsea fans got fed up of it. And I remember like watching Match of the Day one night and he was under pressure and they pulled out this stat that chances created for Chelsea was really high and their XG was really high. And somebody said, but he's under pressure and the fans want him gone. And that's all that matters. All that matters is where they are in the league and whether they are putting the ball in the back of the net. XG, chances created. The minute you start talking about that, you're trying to justify a bad decision. And, you know, 10 years ago, well, let's go back to the 90s. Let's go back to 99. Who was talking about XG and chances created then? Nobody. We're talking about winning. We're talking about winning league titles, winning the Champions League. This is a modern phenomenon. And I do think stats are important at times. But only in the short term, it's half time, we've created this many chances, why haven't we scored? I mean, is there anybody out there that when you're losing 1-0 at half time, who goes, I don't actually, that doesn't really matter. Oh, we're losing 1-0, they've had one shot on goal. We've had 10, we've had six corners, they've only had none. They've had no corners, they've had one shot on goal and they've scored from it. We've had 10 shots, we've had six corners, and I tell you what, our XG is through the roof. Oh, good. Brilliant. Do we get any points for that? No, we don't. And I find it incredible that, and look, I don't think Ben Jacobs is lying. I find it incredible that that is something United, again, wants out there. Oh, we're happy with Amrim. We understand the limitations, but the XG is good. I'll get that on a T-shirt. Another concern with Amrim is that both Jokeres Kenda, who played this manager, did not fancy playing for him again. It's a red flag, says Jose. Data can be spun to say they're doing well, says Keel. Can we all agree Ineos have failed at this stage, says Ross. I mean, Ross, absolutely. This is what I'm saying. You know, that it's one thing to have a conversation about whether you think Amrim's that guy. And I'll tell you what was said on the United Stand Christmas do last night, because they all thought they were in a safe place having a drink when I was going around, are you Amrim in, Amrim out? They're all going, shit, he did say that to me. I'll bring in the facts about that in a minute and Ricky and what he said. But there is a conversation about Amrim in and Amrim out. Of course there is. But there's a bigger conversation about who's making that decision. And you might be sat here going, I'm Amrim in. You might be sat here going, I'm Amrim out. But you're not making the decision. I'm not making the decision. And guess what? Competent people aren't making that decision. And what worries me is, Simply Red says, very convenient to choose which metrics to focus on. Exactly. I mean, possession stats, lower than 50% across the season. They won't talk about that, but they'll talk about the XG and chances created. And what's a chance created, Simply Red? I mean, I've done the research, not this season, I put my hands up, but you know, I'm not gonna lie. Last season, I saw this chances created thing from Bruno. I actually spent the time on Y Scout because it gives you the clip of every chance created. And a lot of them were a pass and then someone shoots from a stupid place. And that's classed as a chance created. So, you know, the detail of that, you know, it does matter. But going back to what I was saying, it concerns me that, you know, we're 10th in the league. We played absolutely shit in the second half against Forest, absolutely shit in the second half against Spurs, and absolutely shit against Everton. So you might get these Glazers. I'm not talking about the Glazers. I'm talking about like glazing your ham or something like that. But, you know, my point is these toxic positivity champions, the Rimmers of the Ineos and the Glazers, etc., they will tell you, you know, it was only before Everton that we were 5 games unbeaten. But we were shit against Spurs and we were shit against Forest and we were shit against Everton. So are we not looking at that? because we haven't got any players to come back either. You know, I look at Man City, they've still got Rodri. I look at Arsenal, they haven't got Gabriel, they haven't got Gyökeres, they haven't got Odegaard. I look at Man United, we're not actually missing anybody. There's nobody to come back, really. There's no big injury, really. I mean, Martinez has been out for 2 years, so let's not pretend, and let's not pretend Martinez is prime Bobby Moore. We're not, you know, he is welcome back, and I'd rather him than sure, but it's not like Messi's coming back. So why are we shit in the last three games? After 10 games, I said in the summer, I wouldn't massively judge us in the first 10 games. We've got new players. We're not in Europe. By game 10, a lot of teams in Europe will be starting to feel the extra games and we'll be allowed to kick on. Since game 10, we've drawn to Spurs luckily and lost to Everton at home. So if I was in charge of the club, I would say to Amrin, right, what is it you want from me? Because I haven't helped you out in the summer. So what is it you want from me in January? But also, you do have enough to be doing better. Why is it after game 10, we started to decline? Because I would have expected that's the time where we start to kick on. The fixtures, you know, the one game a week. You've had enough time with your players. I would expect from game 10 to game 38, this is where we're going to kick on. And to me, it looks like we're starting to drop off. That's a concern to me. Why is that happening? But it doesn't seem like they're doing that. It seems like they're going, no, we understand why it's going wrong. And even though it's our fault, we're not going to do anything about it. And also, is it really going wrong? I mean, yeah, we lost to Everton with 10 men and we were fucking rubbish. But look at the chances created. Look at XG. I mean, what's happening at the Christmas party? Is Sir Jim going to go, oh, look at this. Get the champers out. We're top of the XG league. I mean, it's just bullshit, isn't it, really? It's absolute bullshit. So look, I think that the strategy is nonsense at the moment, and I'm worried about it. It's almost like they're just spinning any old yarn in the hope that we can beat Palace at the weekend and go, hey, 3 years, everything's great, you know? They're waiting, they're desperate. We just seem to be this, well, it's not a shock, this PR machine of, let's just hope we can win a game so we can get everyone out on Instagram and winning team photos again and you know, paper the cracks and pretend everything's good. And then when it goes wrong again, we'll just, you know, put some stuff about, you know, challenging times and top of the XG league. There doesn't seem to be any leadership. There doesn't seem to be any direction. And I mean, look, I've spent a bit of time talking about stuff there, but I want, transfer stuff. There's loads of stuff to talk about. We've got Ornstein, we've got Romano. There is some good stuff. I'm absolutely frustrated by the lack of leadership at the top of this football club. I would have expected Friday after Monday to have had...
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Even if it was genuine talk about Amrim's job being in jeopardy, I might not like that, but at least it shows some leadership. Even if there was genuine talk that there's going to be a big spend in January to support this manager, at least that's the other way. But what we've actually had is, well, I'll talk about it in a minute. We probably won't do anything in January. We're in it for the long term and we're top of the XG league. And we understand the limitations of our Amorim squad. And I'm like, how can you sit there and understand the limitations? We should be doing a lot better with what we've got. Spot on about the eye test, Mark. People look at the stats and say Salah's better than Premier League Ronaldo without having watched him play in the noughties. Look, the ultimate test of the eye test is when people say, look at the stats of Mane compared to Ryan Giggs. I even heard somebody say Harvey Barnes has got a better output than Ryan Giggs. He may well have that. But this is where stats need to be flushed down the toilet, because for anybody who actually watched Ryan Giggs, you'd take Ryan Giggs over Mane and Harvey Barnes every day of the bloody week, because it's not just about assists and goals. It was different systems. It was different times. But it's also the way the player plays the game. And Ryan Giggs is one of the best players to play in the Premier League. Doesn't probably get the credit he deserves. But for those of you who watched him, you know, his stats might not stand up to certain players. But on the eye test, a bloody amazing player. And also, the game was played differently then. Wingers were wingers. Like, you know, you played in a 4-4-2. You had to support your fullback. You had to be part of the build-up play. And you stayed wide with a natural left footer. So, you know, the eye test for me will always be the main test, supplemented by data. And the eye test in football is results, supplemented by data. If you're winning every game 1-0, with 10% possession and one shot on goal, you've got a problem. If you're winning every game 1-0 with 20 shots on goal and 80% possession, you're in a good position. But results will always dictate it. And if we are genuinely looking at Belaiba because of the data and not because of his performance, then I'm very worried about where Man United are heading. And the reason I mention it is because there seems to be a lot of data dripping coming out of Man United. And that would not surprise me as to why the club is falling off at the moment, because I don't think when you look at Ineos, they've got any footballing pedigree. Simon Jordan said it, to be fair, right at the start. And I'm not here to shout out Simon Jordan, but he did say right at the start, and I'll always shout out things I hear, whether it's Piers Morgan or bloody Ollie Mears. If they say something sensible that I remember, I will go fair play. And Simon Jordan did say right at the start, when all the United fans were buzzing, he said, what's their pedigree in football? When you look at their pedigree in sport, it's not very good at all. So I don't know why Man United fans are getting excited. And 2 years down the line, we're not doing very well. And I think they don't know much about football. Sir David Brailsford did a bloody strategic review. I don't think he's even there anymore. What was that review all about? Sacking people? It looks to me like they are going with stats. Check out my first super chat, says Rajaf. I'll come back to that. And John says, should Ruben Amorim get January transfers if he's so rigid? In Everton game, can you say he's inept to adjust or big ego to play his style? I'd say he's stubborn. Well, we'll come back to that because, well, look, let me say this about Paul Scholes. I definitely need to talk to you about this João Gomes story, because the contradiction between Romano and Ornstein is hilarious, and it's worrying about the January window. But I was listening to something from Paul Scholes. I think he did an interview on Sky. And he basically said two things that I think will resonate. He said, I'm watching the game on Monday night and I cannot understand. It's so frustrating why he won't change his tactics. But he wasn't really talking about the 3-4-3. Well, I suppose he was. He was basically saying, you know, get an extra attacker on the pitch and take one of the three defenders off. Exactly what you were saying. Exactly what I was saying. And he was like, you know, you're watching the game, you're frustrated, and then you're getting more frustrated because he won't make that change. And I had a message from, I think it was TR or somebody messaged me the other day, and they said, it reminds me of Bielsa at Leeds, but not in a good way. I don't like Leeds, but when Bielsa was at Leeds, I used to like watching them. Because they probably would lose, but it would be like 5-3. It was such an open game that the way they played was ridiculous, but it was good to watch. And I used to say at the time, if you want to induct somebody into football, get them to watch a Leeds game, because they did lose a lot of games, but they played so open. And Bielsa wouldn't change because he was so stubborn, and ultimately he got sacked. And I got this message from someone saying, Amorim's like Bielsa. Unfortunately, the style of play is not like Bielsa, but he's one of those managers who is just ridiculously stubborn. And I don't mind that in a certain state, but when it's a game like Everton where you have to take a defender off and he doesn't do it, you know, it's frustrating, isn't it? But he also said about Maynou, Scholes said about Maynou that it's so frustrating to see a player like Mainoo not playing for Manchester United. He embodies what we want in that team. He's a young player from the youth setup who's shown previous talent. The midfield's absolutely atrocious. And you're finding it hard to justify why he's not getting game time. And he said, look, at the moment, I think Mainoo's handling it really, really well. But how much longer can he manage that? How much longer can he sit there watching a terrible midfield and not be given the opportunity? And I think that's the thing. There'll be people in this chat saying, well, Mainoo's fucking shit. You know, every time he comes on, he's shit. But like, look at who he's coming on for. They're no better and they play every week. And I think that where I agree with Scholes is the fact that Bruno and Casemiro, in my opinion, haven't been very good this season. I know there'll be people saying, you whatever, but it's the chance. Maybe Mainoo isn't the solution, but I'm not going to judge him on 45 minutes against Grimsby or half an hour when he's not, you know, he needs to be given a chance. He needs to be given opportunity. And that is very frustrating. And Nicky Butt said something you've been saying as well. He said, the thing about Mainoo is if he was playing for Crystal Palace week in, week out, I believe he's a good player. And he'd actually be one of Man United's targets for 60 million quid. And it's true. I genuinely think if Mainoo was playing regularly for a Brighton or a Crystal Palace, he would be playing well enough that we would be targeting him and talking about him now. And I do think, you know, that's the frustrating thing because I might be in the minority, but I do think that if he was given three or four starts, he would start to play well again. And he probably would be a solution to a problem that's massive in our midfield at the moment. But, you know, there we go. Right, let me talk to you about, I mean, look, on a different type of show, I might have actually started with this, but I'm sort of an opinion. It is news, of course it is news, but I feel at the moment, as much as there is stuff coming out from David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano, and it, you know, it's good stuff, my main focus at the moment is not putting a thumbnail out saying, sign him up, and a title going, massive Gomez update, because actually the only update I'm interested in is what's the bloody hell was going on at my football club and why are we not behaving in a way that a Manchester United football club should be? Why are we leaking excuses when there should be no excuses? This week was an opportunity for somebody in that football club to step forward, whether it's CEO, director of football or owner. Somebody needed to step forward and go, look, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. We don't accept this. And things have to change very, very quickly. And we're all working together to make that change. There's nothing about sacking a manager or selling a player there. But that's the message that should come out. And God, it would come out. If Sir Alex was in charge and we lost the game like we did against Southampton in the grey kit, we wouldn't start talking about XG and chances created. There would be, this is not acceptable at Man United. And that is such an easy thing to say. And I think some of you don't recognise it because it doesn't happen. Like that should be, you know, Liverpool are sort of doing it at the moment. You know, Slot said it, the club are sort of reacting to it. There is mumblings about the changing of a manager because that is not acceptable for them to be losing games like they did on Wednesday night or Tuesday night. But at United, we don't. And it worries me that we don't because what they are, they know it's unacceptable, but they also know by acknowledging it, they show weakness that they're responsible. So they try and sweep it under the carpet. We need leadership. We need leadership at that football club. It'll be very interesting to see how Amrim speaks in the press conference later. Sal says, I want a coach who is adaptable and willing to adjust tactics when the team isn't performing, not someone who sticks to the same approach no matter what. And James says, stop putting Casemiro and the Bruno in the same sentence. Casemiro has been good because you want him gone doesn't mean you can't say he's been good. James, thank you very much for your super chat. And I'm sure a lot of people will agree with you, but I'm not going to stop doing something because you tell me to do it. And you shouldn't stop doing it because you disagree with me. I disagree with you that Casemiro has been good. I think he's been bang average this season. I don't think he's been good. I think he gets paid 350k a week and I wouldn't give him 150k. So if you think he's been good, I would say he's behaved like a 100 grand a week player. We pay 350 grand a week to him. I would expect prime fucking Pirlo, mate. Not that. So if you think that's been good and you want to go and pat him on the back as you give him 350k a week on a Friday, then you go, mate. You go for it. Personally, I have standards. And if that's a 350k a week midfielder, I'm putting my boots on tomorrow. I want 100k. Absolutely not. I find it hilarious that people want to glaze Casemiro's performances this season because he's done okay. 350 grand a week, and people are going, oh, leave Casemiro alone, he's done okay. Mate, I watch football. I know what a good midfielder is. I look at Declan Rice, I look at Caicedo, and Casemiro ain't nowhere fucking near it, and he gets paid more than those players. A lot more. And I'm meant to sit here and go, sorry, Casemiro, I've mentioned you in the same sentence as Bruno. You actually are good. He's the best midfielder we've got, but bloody hell, if that's good, I don't know what to say. I really don't. Let me have a quick look at this one here. Let me go. I'm trying to look at this super chat. Here he is, Jaden. Jay says, hi, Mark. Why are you not Amrim out? If you don't trust the player and see no progression, why keep him? If not, why not just sack him? Good question. So I asked this of a lot of people last night. Mauds, Ricky, Kev. I asked them whether they were Amrim out. They had a few. I'm not Amrim out because, and I think it's hard in the modern world. I think a lot of people in the modern world take in so much information, whether it's short form, TikTok, you know, news articles, skim read. Attention spans are a lot shorter. And I think people deal with that influx of information by making quick decisions. Yes, no, swipe left, swipe right. So it doesn't surprise me that people are Amrim in or Amrim out, and you have to, you know, why are you not one or the other? But I come from a generation where there are three options in life. There is Amrim in, there is Amrim out, and there is in between. The traffic light system of, you know, it's not just red and green, there's amber and everything in between. I'm not happy with where Man United are. But it's multi-layered. It's not like if I said, let's get Amrim out, one, it's not going to happen. And I did this with Van Gaal, and I don't like being sat there for months not supporting a manager. It's not a very nice situation. Two, they're not going to do it, of course. Three, who would I go for? Four, the main problem is the ownership. I don't think if you said to me, the best manager in the world wants this job, I don't think it makes a massive amount of difference. I want to win the league. I don't want to just be fifth. And to me, the major problem is what I've been talking about all week. It's the strategic plan of the leadership team and what's going on. You change the leadership team, I think Amrim gets sacked anyway. So, you know, why would I spend my time, you know, sacking another manager when we've done it so many times before? I think at some point you've got to go, the real issue is the ones at the top. What I will say, and I've said it to everybody, is that if you're asking me to say whether Amrim will get the sack, I'm 75% sure he'll lose his job in the next 18 months. As of today, I'm 75% sure he will lose his job in the next 18 months. Part of that's based on the last 10 years, and part of that's based on the way the team is performing. I'm a firm believer that it's very difficult for a manager, and I think Slot's in trouble as well. I think it's very, very rare that when a team has shown frailties and poor performances, they turn it around. And obviously Jurgen Klopp lost games, it's Sir Alex lost games, but they were sporadic, you know, oh, that was a shock, and then they're back winning games. We are consistently playing badly and dropping points again, like last season. I don't think there's ever been a manager, of a top four club in the Premier League that their first year in the club, they've had so many bad results, and then they turn it around. Not in the Premier League era. I can't think of a manager that started so badly and then, I mean, I'd be interested, maybe Arteta, but the thing is, it's almost, I think with Arteta, it started to improve and it got better and better and better, whereas with Amrim, it's been terrible. It started to improve and then it's gone off again. And I think it's very difficult. Overall, out of 10, how would you rate Casemiro's time at Man United, says Alton? 5. Yeah. I thought his first season was good, but for what we pay, it's been a very disappointing signing. You just called Rice and Casado have disciplined partners with them. Casemiro is trying to cover two spaces all the time. Agate is bang average, says James. Yeah, but you've not answered the question, James. I'm paying 350 grand a week for Casemiro, and you want me to say he's had a good season? And then you're making excuses for him. If I put Lionel Messi in a Stoke team, he's still going to be Lionel Messi. Getting the ball, he's still going to do good things. I watch Casemiro, he's bang average. I watch him against Everton, he had to get subbed off, he was that shit. No, not for me, mate, not for me. Opinion, Bruno as a better captain, as a passer scoring job, than needs to be to other players, to their job and defending. I'd just say focus on his game. Play Bruno as a 10, John. That's what I would do. Right, let's get into some of this transfer news because I'll be here till bloody midday. So there's quite a lot to go through this morning in relation to the transfer news. I'm just getting it up here. So the João Gomes story is the most interesting story this morning. Please do smash a like on the video, everybody. Would you keep Casemiro on 350k a week or Belaiba, who earns around 15k at the moment? I'd take Belaiba over Casemiro, yeah. I don't want to do either, but I would. So Fabrizio Romano comes out this morning. So João Gomes is potentially a January signing that Man United desperately need. Fabrizio Romano comes out and says that João Gomes is being considered by Manchester United, but he's not a priority. He's seen more as an opportunity, the same as Conor Gallagher in January. João Gomes would be very keen on the move to Manchester United.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Then David Ornstein comes out and says that he's not on the list for Manchester United. There's no truth in the conversation that Man United are in talks with João Gomes. There's no talks going on at the moment. So taking the two transfer gurus together, Ornstein is basically saying there are no talks and there's no truth in it. And Romano's saying he's not a priority, but he's an opportunity if they want to take it and he'd be keen to come. So I think you put that João Gomes story in the bin now. And I think you put the Conor Gallagher story in the bin now. Because there's reports from Spain that Conor Gallagher is actually happy in Spain. And the João Gomes story has just been put in the bin. So here we are. For all we've just been talking about, the club's in a bloody mess. You know, they're releasing a bloody Christmas jumper with top of the XG league. And the January window, which has to be an opportunity, I'm sort of looking at it and I'm going, so we're not buying a midfielder? Because if we're not in talks for João Gomes and David Ornstein, how often is he wrong? You'd need to be in talks for João Gomes if you're buying him in January. You'd need to be in talks with somebody to buy them in January. Like, you don't just wait till January the 1st and go, hey, Connor, do you want, you know, you've got to be in talks. If we're not in talks with João Gomes, and we're not, and Conor Gallagher's not a consideration, then I'd start to panic now that we're not going to do anything in the midfield in January, which is criminal. But it was criminal not to do something in the summer. Because we're sort of being led down this, look down there, I've just done a shit on your lap, but look down there, you know, because it's like, oh, Elliot Anderson is the priority. We've heard Andy Mitten. We've heard David Ornstein, Laurie Whitwell, all saying that Elliot Anderson is the priority at the moment. And I think it was David Ornstein that said Belaiba is high on the list, but Anderson is the priority at the moment. And I just think David Ornstein himself said Elliot Anderson's wage package is close to 100k at the moment. and Forest won't sell, don't want to sell, and won't sell for, without a big, big offer. So that's not happening in January. And I don't think it'll happen in the summer, to be honest with you. If we're not in Europe and we won't be the only horse in the race, so I'm sort of sat here going, so none of the January transfers are happening, Conor Gallagher or João Gomes. We can't get Anderson until the summer, and even then we might not get him. We need two midfielders. And what you're basically saying to me is, we're not going to do anything again, are we? We're going to do the whole we like to do it in the summer bollocks. And I sort of just sit here and go, you know what? Some people are probably there going, stop being so negative. And I'm like, at what point do you wake up and realise this ain't good? At what point do we just start going, what are we actually doing? Have we actually become a football club where we just go, we're rubbish and we're going to be rubbish forever and we're just going to swallow this bullshit? I mean, what are they actually doing? Like, if this was Todd Bowley at Chelsea, they'd be buying Elliot Anderson and Angelo Stiller in January and they'd pay 170 million to do it. They'd find the way to do it because that's what the team needs now, because there's an active season going on now. And if you change that midfield now, you will get in Europe in May. But United are going to go, no value, no value. Can't get the players that we want. We're going to wait till the summer, mess up another season, then miss out on them and miss out and mess up another season. I can't believe we've got such morons in charge. They don't see how rubbish they are, and they don't understand that in football, it's about what you do today, not about what you want to do tomorrow. And I don't see the Elliot Anderson deal happening because I think better clubs will go for him and we won't have the money anyway. And also, we need to do something in January. Like, we have to do something in January. I can't understand how they're looking at it and going, oh, we understand we're rubbish because the midfield's rubbish, but let's not do anything till the summer. And you might end, you know, also, are you not setting up Amrin for the sack? Like, is that part of the plan? Because that midfield is going to lose a lot of games between now and May. I heard somebody yesterday say, I don't actually mind us waiting until the summer if it means we get the players that we want. And I replied and I said, but there's another 26 games where that midfield's got to get us through. If we're 10th now, what if we're 10th in May? He's got to go. And that, I find that madness. United treat summer like our Christmas birthday for signings, says Tom Grant. So yeah, I'd say I'm a little bit concerned about that that midfield scenario, because if João Gomes isn't happy, look, for me, you got to get someone in January. You know, if I don't have a car and I need to go somewhere, and don't say ring an Uber, I need a car, right? I need a car, and there's a car I really want, but I can't get it till the summer. But between January and the summer, I need to go somewhere. I go and get what I can get in January so that I can get somewhere. And what United are basically saying is, we need to get somewhere before the summer, but we're going to wait for the car we want in the summer, and we're not going to go anywhere between May and the summer. And that's exactly it. We're not going to go anywhere between May and the summer, and we need to go somewhere. So, João Gomes is not a priority, or Conor Gallagher's not a priority, or Manu Kone is not a priority. Getting a midfield is a priority. Sometimes in life, you need something, you've got to go and get it, and you can't wait for the thing you really want. You have to get something. You know, I'm starving. I'm absolutely starving. Oh, I'll deliver you a Big Mac and chips tomorrow, but I'm starving today. I'll take the beans on toast. No, I really want them. No, we got to eat today. And this club is just not running itself like a football club. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And, you know, there might be people at United sat there going, oh, look at this nonsense. Look at this nonsense. It's not nonsense, though, is it? Because you're happy to sit there and allow all this nonsense to be out there. You know as well as I do that you can control what goes out to the media. And you are. You can easily put it out there that that's not true, or that you are going to buy a player in January. But you're not. You are setting us up, as you always have, to do nothing in January behind a lie that you're going to do big things in the summer, and you're going to let the club fall again. And we literally had it last January. We're not going to really do anything in January because we're planning for the summer. And we're looking at Kenda. Kenda's now a bloody Chelsea player. I can see Elliot Anderson going the same way. Oh, Elliot Anderson's a priority. Elliot Anderson's a priority. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in March, Elliot Anderson's agreed a deal with Liverpool. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. We need another Chicharito, but for the midfield, says Pulp. Just to skim through some other things about the midfield. Interestingly, Travello, who have broken a couple of stories around Man United in the last few weeks that have proved to be true, they're saying that Man United are going to re-enter talks for Ederson of Atalanta very soon. I've always liked Ederson. My personal feeling is that we haven't legitimately been linked to him for a very long time, and that he was a previous regime's target, i.e. pre-Amrin. I haven't really kept an eye on Serie A this season, to be honest with you. But Atalanta are doing quite well again, and Edison's an interesting opportunity. We've got this lad Orozco coming in. I mean, good news. He played very, very well for the under-18s, I think it was, for his national team against Germany. He's another talent like Kone that's coming over. I think he's 17. However, I would say two things. Like, I think even when we got Kone and Obi, there was a lot of excitement. Oh, these players, wow, brilliant. Yeah, they could go straight into the first team. And I think with this Orozco, and there's another player as well, I think people are waking up to it. They're sort of like going, and, you know, hopefully he'll be a good player, but look at Leon, look at Kone. We don't use them in the first team. They might be a year or two off being anywhere near the first team. We need players today. And even if we do put them in the first team, Dorgu, Yoro, if they don't hit the ground running, they're flops. And they don't, the environment's not there to develop them anyway. So I'm at a point now where it's, oh yeah, it's great that we're buying these young players, but what's their development pathway? Because we don't develop players and we don't have the environment for it either. The only players we should sign are players Amrin wants. Otherwise, we're chucking it up the wall and going round in circles. And that was from JB. And Sal says, how Ineos are the worst thing to happen to Man United? At this point, even a FIFA career mode board would run the club better. I mean, they're not the worst thing to happen to Manchester United. Obviously, we've had much worse things happen to this football club. 58 is the worst thing that's ever happened. And, you know, in a Premier League era, the Glazers are far worse. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I would repeat what I said to you 2 days ago. We have statistically got worse under Ineos. And, you know, this is quite a boring thing to say, but I actually do question when halving your workforce is actually going to bite. I think it's going to bite us in a bad way. I don't think you can halve your workforce and things get better. I think you can get rid of ineffective people and save money. But I don't think you can get rid of half your workforce and be a better run club. I think that was that reminds me of, I've worked at businesses before where they need to save money and they go, look, we've got to sack half the workforce, otherwise we're going to go under. And it doesn't really matter whether you're good at your job or not, we're cutting these jobs. That to me, when Man United sacked half the workforce, that wasn't about, you know, all these people we can do without. That was like, we need to sack half the workforce. And I think that's going to bite us. I really do. Just on that young scenario, though, I did see something this morning that if Maguire stays, they're going to bring in another young centre-back to learn the ropes. And I thought, learn the ropes from who? We haven't got a proper leadership team. It baffles me. It baffles me. It really does. What's this? I've clicked here. I don't want to click that. Get out. John says, if you say Ruben Amorim's done in 18 months, who is next? I mean, what I'm saying is, I think there's a 75% chance he'll lose his job in the next 18 months. And remember, in 18 months, Ruben Amorim will have been here in 2.5 years. And how many managers in the last 10 years have been here longer than 2.5 years? So it's quite a tactical percentage to say, in the next 18 months, I'm 75% sure he'll lose his job, because every manager at Man United has lost their job in that period of time over the last 10 years. But it's not, that's not the reason I'm saying it. I think he's on the pathway towards it. I said that after the Brentford loss. It feels like he's on the pathway towards it. And some people, you know, you win a couple of games and people go, oh, you said he's on the pathway to the sack. But it's a roller coaster. And the trouble with a roller coaster is there are no highs and there are no lows. It's just a consistent up and down. And that's not good enough for Manchester United. So I really hope he can turn it around and find consistency. But finding consistency with inconsistent players and a crap board is virtually impossible. I don't think I've said it so many times, in my opinion, the environment at Manchester United is not conducive with success. To be successful, you need stability, leadership and structure around you. We don't have that. You can bring the best manager in the world, but he can't succeed without the ingredients. A chef can't cook or bake a cake without the ingredients. A builder can't build a house without the materials. But they're still a good builder and they're still a good chef. You know, whether Amrim's the good enough manager or not, I don't think he's got the ingredients and the materials around him to be successful. And I don't think any manager has. And that, I've said that consistently. That's nothing to do with losing to Everton. Anderson, we've spoken about. Bruno, there's still interest in from Saudi. I mean, of course there is. They've been interested in Bruno. I think that came in from The Athletic. There's been interest in Bruno for a long time from Saudi. We know he could have gone there. So, you know, sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. Use the money to build the midfield, blah, blah, blah. We should have done it in the summer. Just on Cunha's head injury, interestingly around this, if you watched the video with Ben and Beth yesterday, there was mention that he may have been knocked out in training. Now, there's talk of him playing against Palace, but I read something very interesting last night that concussion protocols in the Premier League are 10 days. Bergvall missed our game a week after he'd gone off for Spurs. I mean, I don't know a lot about head injuries, but if you've been knocked out, I would have thought you might come under the concussion protocols, in which case he won't be playing against Palace. So I don't know whether we've got anybody who knows any better than that, but apparently it was quite a severe head injury that kept him out of the Everton game from training on Saturday. Of course, it's only 7 days tomorrow since he's done that head injury, and Crystal Palace would be game eight. There is feeling that he'll play, but it's probably worth mentioning that the concussion protocols are that it's longer than 7 days. So he might be in a scenario where he is not available, which would be problematic. But maybe we'll get an update on that from Amrim tomorrow. United are very secretive about injuries anyway, though. So even if Amrim says we're hoping he's available, it doesn't necessarily mean he will be, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. St. Jimmy is off to Amsterdam for my birthday, but don't worry, I'll catch the shows when I'm over there. I never miss an episode. Oh, God, I was worried then. Have a good time, though, mate. Thanks very much for your super chat. 12 wins in a year for Amrim, says Lee Dixon.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Rob says, can't we just play Amrim? Can't we just play Cunha anyway? Because 90% of the team play concussed. I have mentioned the belaboured data-driven stuff. That's just absolutely hilarious. We spoke about what Skoll said. Semenyo again. I mean, oh God, this has got to be the most boring story ever. I'm so bored of it. I'm so bored of it. Semenyo is on the menu for Manchester United in the sense that we retain an interest, according to David Ornstein. I don't have a lot to say about that because we shouldn't be buying Semenyo. He was not a priority. We got Mbeumo and Cunha. If we retain an interest because he's been on the list, what are we talking about here? And if we go and try and sign him, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we do not need Semenyo. I'm not saying I wouldn't take Semenyo or Adeyemi, but we do not need Semenyo. We need to be looking better at that team. And what we desperately need at the moment is a striker of experience, which I don't think we're going to get. Two midfielders yesterday, and arguably wide players. Now, all right, Semenyo might be able to play out wide, but are you really going to play Semenyo on the left and Amad on the right? I don't think Amrin would dare do that. I think he'd do it in the Portuguese league. I think he'd play two wingers at wing back in the Portuguese league, but I don't think he'd dare do it in the Premier League. I really don't think he'd dare do that. I think Amrin is more counter-attack defensive than attack at the moment and possession. And I think if you go Semenyo and Amad, you've got to be an attacking side with possession. And we're a counter-attacking team. So many times it looks like a back five. So I don't think he'd do that. But also, you can't spend £65 million on a player when you need an experienced striker and you desperately need two midfielders. So the Semenyo thing wouldn't make sense to me at all. But look, it's going to be very interesting to see what Amrin's got to say at lunchtime. Maybe he'll be the guy that comes out and shows some accountability and leadership, because I'm fuming about Monday and I'm disappointed again at the club's reaction to it. I can't accept. Somebody said you need to go and have a walk and calm down, too much negativity for a Friday morning. Well, I'm sorry I care, mate. I'm sorry it actually matters. And I'm sorry that I find it completely and utterly repulsive that this great football club has become a club that accepts losing to Everton with 10 men and being 10th in the league. I don't recognise that. I don't accept it. And I don't care if you want to give me a bag of Werther's and Originals and a pair of slippers and say, look at him, stick him on the History Channel, living in the past. But I'm not going to change. I mean, maybe that's what happens when you get older. You just become a moany old prat who lives in the past. But the past was better for Manchester United. We had standards. We are still a massive club. And all I see Ineos do is lower expectations and get away with it. Factually, over the last 2 years, we've got worse. And every bad result becomes more acceptable from them. There is no frustration. There is no anger. And there is no reaction to these unacceptable performances. And some of you are being brainwashed by it. Like, some of you are just going, oh, well, these things happen. No. In competitive sport, you are driven to succeed and you do not accept poor performance. If you're a runner and you have a set time that you should be hitting and you go on a run and you don't hit it, you don't go, oh, well, you look at why. Did I go out on the piss last night? Did I not sleep properly? Man United go, oh, it's fine. We are like the new school sports day in the UK, where when I was growing up, sports day, if you win, you get first prize. If you get second, you get second. If you get third, third. Nowadays, somebody wins, and if you come last, you get a first prize medal as well. Why have Man United become like this? It's a competitive sport. Why are we not driven by winning? Why are we not setting standards? I'll leave it there. Thanks everyone for watching. We're back with the press conference reaction at about 1:30. Tune in for that. I've got Leipzig watch along tonight from about 7:15. I'm really excited to watch that. I mean, there are some good young players there, and Favel obviously works there. But I mean, whether we should be buying young players, you know what my thought is about that. But and we have an 8:00 show for you too. Obviously, remember, we've done the preview for Palace. Controversial, but I stand by it, what I said. You can check that out. And it is a midday kickoff on Sunday. Apparently, it was because we were meant to be playing in the 12:30 game, which is why there's no 12:30 game. We were meant to be 12:30 tomorrow, but because Palace played last night, it's been moved to 12:00 on a Sunday. There you go. Information bridge. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.